I am the founding pastor of City Well Church, which is in Coatesville, Pennsylvania. We started the process of planting the church as a daughter church out of Morgantown Community Church about 4 years ago. And yesterday we had our second ever worship service. So super exciting about that. We spent years just searching for a location that, just any location, to be honest, like just anything that we wasn't exorbitantly priced in Coatesville and also wasn't there were lots of working towards that. But so last week we had our first worship service, and I've been here before. I've shared some about some of our vision, what we were doing, different things along those lines, and got asked a few times, are you going to give an update? So let's start with that. Last week, the big question I keep getting asked is how many people came, and nobody counted. So we don't know. Here's what we do know. We know that we have a children's check-in system that had 29 kids checked in for it, and I know that we had 3 kids in the children's ministry. So we had at least 32 children show up last week from birth through the end of fifth grade. So we're estimating somewhere between 100 and 120 people came out for our first worship service, which was awesome. And then we were like, I have no clue who's coming back next week, because I looked around the room and I'm like, I see 8 ordained pastors in here from other churches or something like that. I don't know the number for sure, but there was a lot of friends that just came out to support us. So yesterday, numbers were a little different. We had 13 children and 49 total people there. So still pretty awesome. God has just opened that door for us, and we are thankful for moving into that season. And so when Jeff asked me to come preach today, I'm like, sweet, I don't need to write a second sermon because I can just use what I used the night before. So last week for our first service, I'm like, we need to get the foundation of the gospel and what it really means to be a believer first before anything else. So we spent the entire time looking at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. And we focus just on those two pairs of words. In Christ, new creation. And really dug in and asked, like, are you in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? How do we know we're in Christ? Are you a new creation? Has God done a work in your heart to transform you? Are you new in Him? And pretty much all I did the entire time was just like, let me present the gospel this way. Now let me present the gospel this way. And just, we got to get the foundation of what does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus before we get anywhere else. So that's all last week. This week, we did Ephesians 2:10, and I told you I'm cheating. I'm doing it here too. Ephesians 2:10. It says there, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And give context, Ephesians 2:10 comes right after Ephesians 2:8 and 9, if you didn't know. Obviously, that chronology, that's how it works. But Ephesians 2:8 and 9, a lot of us probably have it memorized. For we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. And we are new in Christ, but out of that, we're called to do a new thing for Christ. So when Christ does that new work, He then has a new work for us. And so this morning, the first thing I want to make sure we all get is you are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. And we don't always feel like a masterpiece, and it's even weird to say. NIV says, for workmanship, right? Workmanship is the word NIV uses. Some other translations do handiwork. If you go back to the Greek word, The Greek word is actually the same word for creation for the 2 Corinthians 5:17, when it says, in him we're a new creation. It's the same root Greek word there. But the word implies the specific, intentional handwork of God to make something excellent. So when we are in Christ, we're this new creation, but we are God's handiwork. We're his masterpiece. God does not make junk. Sometimes we feel like junk, but God doesn't make junk. God does not make mistakes. God, unlike some of us, does not have to projects. He doesn't get started and then just go, God, when he made you new, did a good work. And sometimes we miss this. So last week, something that we had at CityWell that was fun was a friend who's a professional photographer showed up to surprise us and get a bunch of really awesome pictures. And we leaked them out on social media, but we also texted the pictures to different people, images of themselves, to say thank you for coming out or thank you for serving in this way and different things like that. And this one family, I sent a picture to of them, and it was a lady with her kids coming through the door, and she's got a big smile on her face as she's stepping through the door. That's all I saw. I liked it. I'm like, there's a lady smiling. It's a good picture. She texted back, and she's like, great picture. My baby is screaming its head off, and my son is clinging to my leg, scared to death. I didn't see it. All I saw was the smiling lady. And we are often like that when we see pictures of ourselves or of our family. To be honest, I saw a picture of me, and I was wearing a button-down flannel like this, but it was open, and I never do that. But I was trying to incorporate it in a branded CityWell shirt. And I saw the picture, and I'm like, I don't like the way it's sitting. It's, like, weird, lumpy in different places. You ever see pictures of yourself, and you think, like, you see what you dislike in that? I think most of us do. We look at the picture and go, I'm almost 40. How do I still have a zit on my forehead? We see those things. Maybe we see the extra weight that we're like, I really need to get back to the gym and slim this off. When we look at ourselves, we often see the things we dislike. But God did a good work when he created us. God did good work when he made us a new creation. So you say, I don't know if he did because I'm just an angry person. Well, what if you aren't an angry person? What if that sins on how God designed you? God created you a passionate person, but sin is causing it to come out in anger. Or you could, I'm just foolishly stubborn. Well, what if you foolishly stubborn? What if God intentionally made you tenacious? Makes you foolishly stubborn, but God made you tenacious because this world is going crazy and we need people who are going to stand firm on Jesus no matter what the world throws at them. And so yes, the sinful effect looks like you're foolishly stubborn, but that wasn't what God made. What God made was a person who was ready for anything in this world. God does, when he makes us, he doesn't make us less than. And within the launch team for CityWell, we have a ton of people who fall into this category and a term it's new to me, but Steph, my wife, informed me of it recently. I'm like, I kind of like it. So the term is neurodivergent. You see and process the world differently. So ADHD would fall into that category. Autism and Asperger's falls into that category. Lots of you see and process the world differently. She also informed me like Steve Jobs was neurodivergent, really successful people. But a lot of how our world is structured and our education system is structured makes people who see and process the world differently feel less than. But that's, God did not make us or less than. That's not what he did. God intentionally designed people so that they see and process the world differently so they can solve problems and do things no one else would be able to see and do and solve. And yes, the sinful effect of people responding to the difference can make them feel less than, but it wasn't how God made them. In Christ, we're chosen, we're set apart, we're loved, we're adopted, we're purified, we're justified. Through us, Christ will be magnified. God made you a masterpiece. And I want to do something that might be weird, and it's okay. Something I've set up for years is awkward is awesome. Sometimes it's good to get before God and be willing to step out into uncomfortable. But what I want to ask you to do is take a few moments and just sit before your Creator and say, God, how do I not see myself the way you see me? When I'm doing an exercise like this before God and just like letting him do a work in my heart, what I often do is I lay my hands out like this, just as a posture, a physical response of, God, I'm here and I'm available. Speak to my heart and mind. But before we even continue on, if we're God's workmanship, he did the work to make us new. It's important for us to just let him do a work in our hearts to see ourselves the way he sees us. So take a few minutes and just, God, how do I not see myself the way you do? Speak to my heart and mind. Jesus, show us the unique way you made us. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us see past what other people say and see the root of who you made us to be. Amen. Make you a masterpiece. Number two, God doesn't make museum pieces. God does not make museum pieces. My family loves visiting museums, and like when we're traveling, we're often looking for museums, state parks, and national parks to go to and explore and learn. And we have found there are some people we can't go to them with because we move slow, we look at things, we linger, we imagine, we talk, we read. I know, and then there are people we've tried going with that. They look for anything that's got a button that will read to them and light something up on a screen. And if it doesn't do that, they're not interested and they want to go to the next thing. And we're moving slow and they're moving fast and we're both annoying each other. So we found there's people we can't go to museums with. But last summer, we went to this museum with some of our family up in Sullivan County near where my mom lives. And it's a museum of cars, airplanes, and motorcycles. It's only open a few days a year. And I'm pretty sure it's a giant tax scheme, like for rich people to get out of paying taxes to store their cars for free. Cause it's only open a few days a year. And there's something shady going on there, but we were able to get there one of the days it was open. And I'm not one of those guys who just absolutely loves cars. I'm not a motorhead. You start talking to me about a Chevelle or a Chevy or a whatever, I just smile and nod most of the time, and I have no clue what you're talking about. But sometimes you just see a car, and you're like, that is gorgeous. I want to drive it, and I want to drive it really fast. That's what goes through my head. Like, this thing, I'm sure that thing can go ripping and be a lot of fun to drive. That was my thought walking through this place, like every single car, like that one or that one. Like I would drive any of these, and it would make my day. And I wonder, as I'm walking through this museum and looking at all of these, like what the engineers that design these cars, what the guys working on the assembly lines, what the guys even did the paint jobs would think of, that the car hasn't been driven in who knows how long. It's sitting in a climate-controlled room just to keep it looking pretty. Because I don't think that that's what went through any of their minds when they designed and built these things. They're like, people are going to have so much fun! But they're just sitting in a museum. Protected, shielded, comfortable. But that's also how a lot of believers live their lives. We want to be protected, shielded, comfortable. God didn't make us a museum piece, though. He didn't make us to sit there and look pretty and just always, like, we got to have our air conditioning and the music just right and the volume not too loud. And the no, he made us for a purpose. He made us for a purpose. Titus 3, verse 8 says, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. God calls those of us who are in Christ to get involved in his mission. He doesn't save us because of getting involved in the mission. He doesn't save us by the good works we do, right? That's Ephesians 2:9. But when we get to 10, he saves us for good works. He does a new work in us so that we can do good works. My all-time favorite preacher, I love reading and listening to re-recordings of old Spurgeon sermons. So something he said on this topic, he said, talking about good works, they are the root. They are not the root, but the fruit of salvation. They are not the root, but the fruit of salvation. If we are in Christ, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. With me, you can bear good fruit. So the good works we do are because of the connection we have to Jesus, because of our relationship with Jesus. And through them, there is fruit from it. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people of his very own. In other words, he does a new work to make us clean and pure. But then it ends and says, eager to do what is good. God doesn't make us holy to be a museum piece. He does a work in our hearts to help, so that we can go out and do what we were designed to do. And as we're doing what we're designed by God to do, the good works he prepared in advance for us to do, other people will look to Jesus because of what we're doing. Our goal is not to show off. It's not to make ourselves great. It's not to build our name. But our goal is to let people see what God is doing and show them him. And often a lot of believers just like, let me serve just completely behind the scenes. I don't ever want to be up front. I don't ever want people to see what I'm doing. Don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. And there is of that. But there's a paradox in scripture because that's in Matthew 4. Don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. But you get to Matthew 5 and Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, you are a sports car. You were designed to be able to perform. Get out of the garage. Drive up the Shady Maple. Let's see what type of time you can clock going down the strip. Not Shady Maple. I'm hungry. Maple Grove. Don't race at Shady Maple. This time, I was telling my wife on the way here, I'm like, I am feeling worn out this morning. Get out of the garage. Let's go racing up the strip. God wants to do a unique kingdom work through you. It was about 3 years ago, the team from Citywell became obvious, like, we were going to be looking for a building for a while. And just a handful of us sat in my living room. And we'd been praying and calling out to God and doing a lot of work to try to find a location and try to organize something larger, not just in a house. And it became obvious we're in a waiting time. And we decided to sit there, like I had said earlier, like hands like this. We said before God, whatever you have for us, we'll do it. My prayer for Citywell, but also for each of us here today, is to continue to have our hands like this. God, whatever you have for us, we'll do it. Because I love gathering with other believers and worshiping and praying and hearing and studying the Word of God. But what we're doing this morning is only a small part of what the church as a whole is called to be and do. If this is all that church is, we're completely missing what Scripture has to talk about. We're not called just to gather and be excluded and be comfortable. We're actually called to go and make a difference in others' lives, to do kingdom work. And kingdom work is not just serving on a Sunday morning or for us, for Citywell, Saturday night. It's going as we're going through life. Kingdom work is the places we live, work, and play, having our eyes wide open to see the people we're constantly interacting with, but keep eyes like Jesus. Because it says when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Kingdom work is our eyes are like that, and we're looking for the people who we can speak truth into their lives and make a difference for eternity. Kingdom work is also going to what I would call the edges of the kingdom of God. The places where people feel isolated and alone and rejected and forgotten about and hurt and all of those things. Going and standing right there at the edge and go, I am here with you today because Jesus is too, and he loves you and wants you to step into his kingdom. He wants you to know him and follow him. And it's walking that path out with them. And that's work God created and caused his people to consistently do. And then as I was writing this message, though, there was a tug. Because a lot of believers in America, the message they need, to put it bluntly, is a kick in the behind to start doing some stuff for Jesus and stop being comfortable. But then there's also a group. And in almost every church, that 80-20 rule reigns true. 80% of the people do 20% of the work, and 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and it's super unhealthy. But that's just how it goes. That a lot of people, the 80%, a lot of them need a kick in the behind. Let's start doing some more. But then some of the 20% that need a very different message. The message they need to hear is you are already doing a good work. You are doing a good work. As I was studying this passage and the idea of good work, this weird, it's kind of obscure thing that I came across, I thought, Paul is writing to a young Timothy. He leaves Timothy in the city of Ephesus, and his purpose was to establish the church. And in Ephesus, he had a couple roles. One was to raise up elders, and we know that Timothy, 1 Timothy 3 has the requirements for elders most churches use in there. But in 1 Timothy 5, he talks about starting a ministry for widows. And he says, 1 Timothy 5, starting in verse 9, no widow may be put on the list unless she's over 60. So she's not able to work anymore and provide for herself. Not really marriageable age anymore. But then he continues, has been faithful to her husband, so lifestyle matters. But verse 10, it says, and is well known for her good deeds, such as. And then it lists off some things, that good deeds that a widow may be known for. And the first one is bringing up children. Then it just says showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good works. But if I'm reading this correctly, there are moms probably in our lives that feel discouraged because they're like, I want to do more, but this season I can't because that's just my kids suck everything out of me. What if we start celebrating that? Like, not those kids sucking everything out of them, but them willing to pour themselves out for their children. Because it is if I'm reading this verse right, it is a good work. If they're doing everything they can to raise their children up in the Lord, parents are doing a good work in that. I believe that if Satan Coming back to the car analogy, he can't get you to stay in the garage. The next thing he's going to do is try to convince you you're not doing enough. So the people who are in the 20% that are doing 80% of the work, Satan's trick for a lot of them is to say, hey, push that gas pedal a little bit harder. You can do more. You can do more. You can do more. There's more in you. And before you know it, you wrap the car around a telephone pole. And like we've all been around long enough to see pastor after pastor after pastor who's fallen. When they go back and say, I just never took time to rest. I never let my foot off the gas pedal. I gave and gave and gave to the place that I had nothing left to give. I was completely empty. I went beyond what God was calling me to do. And once I was there, I screwed up big time. And that's the story after pastor, but it's also the story after person in church after person in church. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his purpose. So if you're in a season where you're like, I'm giving 100% and I feel like God is not showing up and helping at all, maybe you've moved beyond what God is doing. If you never have time to rest, you can't take a Sabbath's rest because you're so committed to different things and you're like, it's all good and it's all for Jesus, but you can't ever rest. Maybe you've moved beyond what God is calling you to do. If your kids are like, I never get to see you, I feel lonely, did you forget about me? Maybe you've moved beyond what God is calling you to do. But God did create us for a unique purpose. I love Colossians 1:10. It says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of Christ and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. As spring's coming, as I've had some free time, just a little bit here and there, one of the things I've been doing is sneaking. And so, cherry, figs, raspberries, blueberries, I don't know what else. Lots of pruning has been happening. It's kept me busy getting all of them done. And it seems counterintuitive. I want as much fruit as I possibly can get. But I'm cutting sections of the trees off. Why? Because the sections that are left bear more and better fruit when the tree is not trying to give to everything possible. The same principle is true in our lives. Sometimes God needs to prune a lot of the work we're doing off so that we can invest and do more and better through the work he does want to do through us. Then we produce good fruit. Because that's the goal, right? Good fruit, not just I did a lot, but like it has a good result. So some of us just need reminded God is doing. Then I told you I was struggling as I was writing it because I'm like, some people need to hear this, but some people just don't ever look at a calendar and don't have a to-do list and they're running from fire to fire to fire and it's their own fault because they didn't take 30 seconds to get organized. And if you're really, really, but it's just because you're putting out all the fires from all the stuff you forgot to do constantly because you never actually took 30 seconds to get organized. Maybe that's the start of the good work you're supposed to do, is just taking 30 seconds in the morning and doing a to-do list and filling out your calendar. But if you are structured and are planning and are, and you're just like, I still got nothing left to give. Maybe it's time to prune. We were created for a purpose. Now, we left room earlier. I said, let's leave room for God to speak to our hearts about the area, how we don't see ourselves the way he sees us. I want to do that a second time, but I want you to think through something different and pray through something different silently. I want you to ask God, where am I at in the good works you prepared in advance for me to do? And maybe if you were to truly ask God that, he's going to say, it's time for you to get out of the garage. You've been sitting on the sidelines or just sitting in the pews comfortable for too long. It's time to start doing a work for Jesus. get out of the garage, get your foot on the gas pedal. Maybe he's going to say, you're doing a little bit, but the gas is on the right. Like, you can push it a little bit harder. We're not just always out on a Sunday drive. Sometimes we've got to get to someplace and get out of the way. Maybe. And my hope and prayer would be that most of us would fall into this category. But the third option is maybe God can say to us, like, you're doing well. You're doing what I'm calling you to do. You're finding the time to rest and trust in me. Just keep it on cruise control. Let's just keep going along like you are. And it's weird to say keep it on cruise control, but there are seasons where we're just in the sweet spot that God has for us. And we just celebrate in it until he speaks otherwise. And for some of us, he may say, you're going too hard. Take your foot off the gas. You're going too fast. There's a turn coming up. Let's rack it back down. And for others, maybe you've given everything you have. And I haven't watched NASCAR in years, and I tried last year, and I was like, I don't know what happened to this ship. They ruined it with all the different circuits and whatever. I didn't get it. It was all. But the one thing I do remember from NASCAR is there was times that the pit stop wasn't enough. The car got so jacked up they needed to take it into the garage, and a major work needed to be done. So maybe that's where you're at, where it's like, okay, I need to let my foot completely off the gas, go into the garage, let God do a work in my heart so that I can get back into the race, but I'm too unhealthy right now. In any of those places, the first thing we got to do is identify where we're at so we know how to move forward in the good works God prepared for us. But just take a moment. All of us are somewhere between, I need to start the engine and pull out of the garage to, I need to pull back in and like get some healing in some different areas. But where are you at? So take a moment just before God and sit in that. Lord, someday when we stand before you, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to run this race with perseverance. But help us to pace ourselves well. Not just leisurely walk. But to not to run a marathon like it's a sprint and collapse. Pray you speak to our hearts and minds. Continue to reveal to us where you would have us at for these different things. God has a unique call on each of us. God has a unique call on you, purpose for you. I think it's cool, the stuff that I want to say Ebenezer, but it's Encourage now, right? Encourage Community Church. There's goals and plans and a mission. And if you're like, man, I need to push my foot on the gas pedal a little bit harder, I'd strongly encourage you, connect with the leadership. Talk to Jeff. Talk to some of the other leaders here and go, what else can I do? How else can I get involved? How else can I serve? What can I do to reach the community through this church? But the other thing is, don't be afraid to just look inside the walls of this church. There are so many other kingdom works being done. And sometimes when we go outside of the walls of the church and start serving God through other places, it could be volunteering at the library. And then while you're there, just being like, hey, every chance you got, let me tell you about Jesus. Why don't you come to church with me? There's a lot of places where we can go to the edges of the kingdom of God and be doing a kingdom work that's not always just here. So I'd encourage you to be looking at those things and praying, God, what do you have for me next than the good works you prepared for me to do. 2 Corinthians 9:8. I want to leave you guys with this as a blessing as we wrap up this morning. It says, "And God is able to make all a grace bound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having everything you need, you will abound in every good work." This week, let's walk out the good works God has for us. I feel like I should pray or something. Like everybody's still just staring at me. Lord, we trust you with our week. Help us to walk in step with your spirit for your purpose.